is Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, well.
Or Felger and Maz.
That is an insult.
Listen to the podcasts on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Toucher and Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Are in the packed streets of London. The gold medal on the line. The race walking title here today. The leader, Valerie Borchin of Russia, moving at a mile a minute, has evidently lost his balance, slowly tumbling down to the ground, and slowly but surely losing control of himself in more ways than one. That looks like it is. That is human excrement. Borchin disqualified for human excrement. Back to Siberia he goes.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich and Rich's wife Mary. Good story is 5 years after her diagnosis of cancer. is running in the Boston Marathon today, and not to lay it on too thick, but the bomb went off right at Rich's place, and Mary was very sick at the time, and they had to get out of there, and, you know, the kids saw everything, so this is a poetic moment for the family, if I could be so bold, and but the problem is, the weather sucks.
It's the worst.
But you say that there's good news?
This is actually pretty good news. I just took a look at, this is weather.com, and originally it was supposed to be starting just before noon, 100% chance of rain, and it was going to be strong winds. It has now dropped to 50% chance of rain at noon, and it doesn't go up to 100. It's been basically pushed back a couple of hours.
Good.
And now it's at 2 o'clock. That's when it starts to 100%. So I think the latest that people leave the starting line is right around when my wife is, because she's the back of the pack, because she's never done this before and it's for charity. And I think that's around 11. So at least those people will be able to get like 3 hours in before it sounds like the extremely bad stuff is going to come down. And that once again is going to be, boy, and at 2 o'clock, according to this, it's going to suck. 100% chance of rain. It's going to feel like 36 degrees, 28 mile per hour winds. So from two...
Well, hopefully they're right in everyone's face.
I was just going to say, which direction?
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. If it's from the east, everyone is screwed.
It's east.
Oh,
so
boy.
It's going east, which is good.
It's out of the east or out of the west?
Yeah, if it says east, and then has the number next to it.
Out of the east.
I don't know.
I don't know anything about it.
Who knows? You would think it would be the direction it was going in, so I guess that's a good thing. But it doesn't matter. Wind's going to whip that stuff up in your face no matter what. So it looks like you're going to get... okay, like not light rain, but not the bad stuff until about 2, and that has changed.
Good, good, good.
And at least for watching. But if you're going to stand by the finish line, I mean, you're toast. I mean, from 2 to 4, geez, from 2 to 7, it looks like it's going to be 100% chance of rain, 26 miles per hour on average. So there you go. Enjoy it. It's going to be garbage.
I need to find... I've never watched the marathon. Yeah, I have when Rich and I used to do appearances.
Yeah, it's...
Those dried up.
What's that?
Those dried up.
Oh, no, I did... Well, you see, that I did it last year, and I was right... I think it was at the Poorhouse. And there's something amazing about walking into a bar at 11 o'clock and knowing that people have been there since, like, 9 drinking.
And, oh, well, the game was going on today. This is the drunkest day of the year for me, and now it won't be. But, like... Because I get off air, I go across the street, I get an Uber and meet my friends at a bar, and then it's just, it's that tired, like I don't eat.
But the city accepts that. Like, isn't that the best thing about Patriots Day? It's like, the whole city is accepted, everyone's going to drink, and there's no shame in people stumbling around at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
But then I ultimately take the train home, and then there's a bar right by the train where I know everybody, and I go in there and start lying.
Yeah.
I just lie. I lie about things that happened. I told them one time that I just got in a fight.
Like, you just start lying.
Oh, yeah. I just lie.
I thought you meant you lied about how much you've already had to drink, and they're like, oh, okay, here's another.
No.
So you just like, start inventing tales?
Oh, yeah. I go in there, and the last time I went, my friend for some unknown reason, just got off at Beaconsfield. He just left the train. And I'm like, what are you doing?
That's and in it the took, middle of nowhere. What?
He did not get home until midnight.
Oh, Beaconsfield? I know exactly where that is. Well, that's a random spot on Beacon Street.
And by the way,
near anything.
You can't cross. You can't cross Beacon Street, of course. So he was...
It's about 2 miles to walk from there to Cleveland Circle.
Oh, no. He walked to Alston.
Oh,
he walked. He lives in Newtonville.
Oh, that's crazy.
And so he did not get home until midnight. I met him at 10:30 in the morning, and he did not. He was hammered, and he did not get home until midnight. No, but I go to the bar. You start lying about stuff that happened. I told him I was in a fight. 1 year, 2 years ago.
And what was the fight over? I'm sure he asked you. What did you tell him? It was over.
Said some listener badmouthed me, so we started throwing down.
Okay, see, you didn't even invent something noble, like guy, like, you know, told a woman.
Dude, I was just an idiot. when you get up at four something in the morning, and then you go on a Monday, and then you immediately start drinking after the show.
Yeah.
It's like, and then you don't eat.
Your filters are gone.
Oh, it's that tired, awful drunk, Yeah, it's stupid. I'm sort of glad they canceled the game today. Because then the Bruins play at night, and it was the same thing last year.
Oh, man. That would just have to be a rally of epic proportions.
Well, I know. What I did is I slept for about 5 hours, then got up for the Bruins game and was completely screwed the rest of the week.
Yeah, I mean, a day like Patriots Day, if you go full on, you go to the game, you drink all day, that'll wreck you for a week.
Oh, yeah.
At least after the age of 30, that will wreck you for a week.
Oh, sure.
And I do kind of think that they screwed you if you had tickets to today's game, that they're rescheduling it for a night game.
I that's what I said, is I said that that's BS. That I don't know why they insist on that. Because you're not losing gate. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you're not... The tickets
are already purchased.
The tickets are purchased.
Yeah.
Maybe because it's tougher to employ the park during the day, do you think?
Why would it be tougher?
Because aren't there, like, people who, like, you know, work two jobs? They work, you know, at night, and they work... Like, it's not a full-time job, I think, if you do, like, concessions or whatever.
They have day games. I mean, but they have day games.
But they're on the schedule. This is not much of a notice
type of thing.
I don't know. They've done it before. I mean, I remember I went to a game where they rescheduled a Tampa game, and it was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
And it is a month's notice. You're right. Was it May 17th? Is that the rescheduled day?
Yes. By the way, there's a ton of teams that play their games at 4 o'clock during April. I mean, there's a ton of them. I don't know why the Red Sox are so hesitant to play day games.
The Sox used to have home games. I don't know if you guys were here or not. They used to do home games in April all at 6 o'clock.
Yes,
we changed that. It was a 1 o'clock start yesterday, right?
I mean,
all Sunday games used to be at 2, so, I mean, they're changing that a little bit. That gives you the extra hour later in the evening that you really need after a Sunday game.
By the way, this is insane. Since we had Mary on at 8 o'clock when she was on the way to the buses, because of the listeners, we're over 30,000 now.
Oh, that's great.
Almost at $31,000.
That's great.
By the way, if you want to donate, go to @TutcherAndRich. Our Twitter account, our Facebook page has it too. And, we've raised a ton of money just in the last hour since she's been on. What's going to go? All goes to Dana Farber. And I've seen videos now of the starting line in Hopkinton, and it could be worse. It could be worse right now. It's not like a massive downpour. Everyone's got like the ponchos and the trash bags and stuff. Everyone's wearing that. It doesn't look pleasant.
Yeah, the women start in about 20 minutes and the men start at 10.
Yeah, but there's those corrals that are just kind of standing and hanging out in. And yeah, it could be worse. It's not as bad as I thought it might be.
It will get bad.
At 2 o'clock, it looks like it's going to be a nightmare, an absolute nightmare.
Oh, great.
As I said, they call it car wash type conditions.
Good.
Which means the wind is whipping it and it's going to be as like heavy rain.
Oh, boy. Jeez. Not good. All right. We were saying this before, but one of the most bizarre broadcasters of all time has died. I've never heard him, but I have read extensively about him. Rich has a story, and he's told the story many times on the radio, but he has now found the audio. This is not a parody show.
No.
This is a man who, if you listen to him long enough, you would be very afraid of humanity. And just what people will believe. But we'll have that for you. But first, the CBS Sportsman is brought to you by South Shore Bank. Boomer reveals, listen to this. A lot of people are going to care about this. Boomer reveals what to watch out for at the 2018 Boston Marathon.
It's TNR. TNR. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Kutcher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. A man by the name of Art Bell has died. He was a longtime broadcaster. He would broadcast in the middle of the night. And his whole thing was conspiracy theories, but not, you know, political conspiracy theories necessarily, but conspiracies involving aliens and abominable snowmen or whatever the hell the things are called.
Oh, if you happen to be tuning in when it was Bigfoot Day, oh, that was awesome. Yeah. The black helicopters in the sky, the ones that were watching, there was invisible helicopters that would monitor you, keep your eyes on you. He used to say broadcasting from the Kingdom of Nye. What the Kingdom of Nye is that there's a place in Nevada, it's like, I think it's called Nye, Nevada, and he had like a trailer, and his radio station was set up inside of the trailer. It was just him. And so at like 1 in the morning till 4 in the morning, I think that was his shift, he would go on the air and he would book these guests that were all about the paranormal and all about, like, you know, things that you don't believe truly exist. But he would have these guests on and he was such a great storyteller. And it's like late at night that by the end of it, you're kind of freaking out.
Yeah. Well, because it also... it makes you question the sanity of humanity that this many people
right.
would tune in and believe this garbage.
Oh, yeah.
There was a guy I was reading, and I don't know if this is true or not. There was a guy who was in his little plane, like a crop duster plane, took off, called Art Bell while he was flying, and said, "I'm on my way to Area 51.
Yep, yep. There was one guy who called in, and it's one of the more famous calls, and it's great because people like think this was legitimate. Is there was a guy who said that he used to work at Area 51, and right now he could only talk for a second because the government has a way of tracing where your phone is and shutting you down.
Right.
And Art's like, "Well, if you only have a second, then tell us what you have to say." And he's like, "They're coming. They're going to hit the big cities because they know that they're the easiest ones. All of us right now, half of us aren't real human beings. We're all plant." And all of a sudden, you hear like the phone go, and it like cuts off, and the whole signal dropped. It wasn't just his phone. It was Art Bell was off the air for like 2 minutes. And then when they came back on, Art came on and said that, "I have heard that our signal was not reaching people. Now, we did lose him on the phone, but I had no idea that someone had taken our signal off the air."
Seems completely legitimate.
But the best experience with Art Bell I ever had was, it was one time when I was in college, my wife and I, just on a whim, like, this is the stupid stuff you do in college, on a whim, and we lived, you know, East Coast. I said, "Let's drive to Vegas." We had 4 days of vacation. I said, I timed it out perfectly. We could get there in 2, stay there for a night, and then drive back in 2. So it was like 4.5 days. Literally, we were going to be in Vegas for like a night, and then we're going to drive back. In order to do that, we stopped in Oklahoma for 5 hours to rest, and then we drove. So at this point, when this came on, it was about 1 in the morning, and we were somewhere in Arizona. And I was asleep in the passenger seat, okay? And there's nothing out there in these roads, and Mary was driving. And so I'm like, I'm completely out of it. And all of a sudden, Mary grabs me and shakes me. She goes, "Rich, there's someone on the radio. And they said that they just lowered a microphone into hell. And they recorded the sounds of hell." And I wake up and I hear this thing on the radio. And I start flipping. I'm like, "Ah!" Because, you know, when you're half awake and you're half asleep. And,
yeah,
you don't know what to, and I'm listening to it. And then I'm like, hang on. "He what, honey?" "It's a microphone in hell." And I'm like, "Turn it up." And I sat there. My wife and I like looked at each other and got legitimately spooked. I found it. I went back and I found the break, and it's out there.
I just like that the idea of that, like, no one's dug a hole in the earth.
Fred, it wasn't just like some random hole. There was a very serious project that was put together by the Syrian government. Okay. All right? And this was not something that they knew they were going to stumble upon. It was the miners there who actually made a recording, and somehow it got into the hands of Art Bell. So here is Art Bell, who received a letter. He had heard rumors of it, but he received a letter with a recording in the mail.
"Now, I've got a clean copy of it now, and I warn you, this could scare you. Here's the email. "Dear Art Bell, I just recently began listening to your radio show and could not believe it when you talked about the sounds from hell tonight. My uncle had told me this story a couple of years ago, and I didn't believe him. Like one of your listeners who discounted the story as nothing more than just a religious newspaper fabricated account. The story about the digging of the hole and the hearing of the sounds from hell is very real. It did occur in Siberia. My uncle collected videos and audio tapes and so forth on the paranormal, supernatural. He passed away fairly recently. He let me listen to one of the audio tapes that he had on the sounds from hell in Siberia, and I copied it. He received his copy from a friend who worked at the BBC. It took me a while to find it tonight, but attached is that sound from my uncle's tapes. It's not the greatest quality, but the sounds are there. I was very hesitant to send you this, as the sound bothers me to listen to. I'd suggest that if you do play it on the program, warn listeners in advance so they may have the option of turning the radio off for 30 seconds while it plays. It has always haunted me. To those who discounted the Siberia sounds from hell story, it is true, and I, for one, wish it wasn't. Rick, listening from Chicago. And so I submit now the cleaned, a better copy to you, and I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
It's the reaction when I took my shirt off today.
Yeah, that was nice in the middle of the night.
What a stupid thing.
Dude, no, it's the stupidest thing. But at 2 in the morning, when you've got no sleep, you're
going, that's the problem. We're sitting in a well-lit studio, Fred. That's the problem.
So the idea was that in Siberia,
yeah,
they dug a hole.
Yeah, yep.
And put a microphone down there.
Yeah, it just happened to be a microphone. And they're like, it was the lowest hole that I guess at that point had ever been dug.
Sure.
And someone had,
and
like,
they fit every human being that has ever been sent to hell into this room.
Someone said, that's not hell, that's the Green Line after a Sox game.
Same thing.
It does somewhat sound like that.
Yeah.
Get on a Kenmore, man.
Oh,
that's
man.
It.
And it was one of those things that at any other time of the day, that show would not work. And at any other time, like, whatever. But my God, when you're about to fall asleep and just like you know, it's like all the truckers are just on their road and all you see are the lights of the truckers and that's it. And that comes on, I'll buy it. I'll buy it. And I think by the end of it, you believe that you were probed by an alien at one point. You just don't even know it.
See, even the alien thing, you could go like, all right, you know, maybe. Digging a hole in finding hell. I think it's sort of been disproved.
Listen, do you know this guy? He said he got it from the BBC.
He did. His uncle gave it to him.
He did.
It got passed down through generations.
It did.
He was hesitant.
And I'm sorry if that disturbed anybody. And even you can't unhear something like that.
Scott Zolak just tweeted, I'm freaked out.
Legit.
Yeah.
I was honestly, that stuck with me for like a long time and it shouldn't have. And I remember going to Mary, how stupid is that? But for some reason, I was like completely freaked out.
Well, yeah, not sleeping for about 24 hours will do that to you.
Paul, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I worked their shift week for like 10 years and I listen to Opto all the time and I loved it. But there was some really crazy stuff that went on in his personal life, too. Like, there was some real deep things with his son.
Yeah, that was awful. Was, yep.
And he was given HIV. And there was a lot of conspiracy theories behind that. And just a lot of weird things that happened to his wife and to his home. You know, with things of break-ins and all sorts of crazy things. So, you know, you wonder the validity of it. But there was some really far-fetched stuff. And he was with the chemtrails. He went pretty deep with the Navajo Indian stuff. But his voice was like silk, man, and he was one of those guys that you could just listen to for hours. He could talk about nonsense, and you would listen. And broadcasts like that, you know, they're far found nowadays. So R.I.P., brother, man, and you know, big ups to you guys for doing your thing.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
And that was the thing that sold it, too, is he had, like, the voice of, like, a PBS narrator. So it was immediately, like, you listen to it, like, this is legit. Like, this guy knows what he's talking about.
No.
And then he would play the sounds of hell. That's and it was just a Dio album. It was just Holy Diver.
Hello,
on
it's nice to meet you. Would you like me to conjure up a witch's brew?
That's right. It's Faneuil Hall during St. Patrick's Day.
All right. What do you got the stack coming up, Rich? What were we talking about?
Oh, well, we got some new information about... I don't even know what the hell we got here. Oh, yeah. Some more information about Rob Gronkowski and what's been going on with him. On top of that, a dude totally caught on fire this weekend on national television, which was pretty phenomenal. And the Facebook whole deal. There's some significant things that are happening with the platform that might scare you. We will get to that.
Yeah, like they found a microphone and put it into hell. All right, here are the headlines.
In your car at 98.5. On your phone, on the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack it up. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what did we not get to today?
Whereas you had one of the closer games that you'll see in the NBA with the Celtics Bucks. One game that was not so close. And,
it's not firing.
Hmm. Well, either way, it would be the Cavs versus the Pacers. That was a blowout. Other than for a tiny little run that the Cavs went on, was it the end of the third where they got a little close? For the most part, it was a 20-point game almost the entire time. 98-80, the final score. Oladipo was just unbelievable. But on top of that, they couldn't get anything going defensively. And you know what? Should that be a surprise to anyone that the Cavaliers couldn't stop? The second worst team in the NBA defensively, at least their rating?
Bottom five. I think they were third worst, but easily the worst defensive team in the Eastern Conference in the playoffs.
Okay, so
easily.
Needless to say, they ended up getting blown out, and LeBron James afterwards made a point that I actually agree with.
You know, I've always stayed even keel with the postseason. I'm down 0-1 in the first round. I was down 3-1 in the finals, so... I'm the last guy to ask about how you're going to feel the next couple of days.
Okay. Not only do I hate LeBron, I want him to lose. But the main reason I want them to lose is because remember at the beginning of the season when we had Mike Gorman on, and Mike Gorman said about the Cavs, I don't even think they're going to make the Eastern Conference Finals. And immediately, like, freezing cold takes and old takes exposed. We're keeping this one. Oh, what does Mike Gorman know? I just want to be able to take all of those and go, all right, well, suck it, because Mike was right. And he's, you know, not right about a lot of things. He likes to he's very pro-Celtics.
Yes.
But in this case, it would be nice to be able to go back and go, all right, well, he actually knew. I still don't believe that they're going to lose this series, even after that beatdown. Unless LeBron has just completely conceded that he wants out, that he just hates Dan Gilbert, because apparently behind the scenes, there's another storyline that's come up, is that politically, he just absolutely hates Dan Gilbert's beliefs, the way he's spoken out and has donated to people that obviously LeBron is not a big fan of. So I wonder if this is just kind of an FU, although LeBron's playing hard, so you can't really blame him.
Had a triple-double yesterday.
Yeah, so I guess that kind of blows out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the full season. I mean, you can't stop anyone during the regular season. You don't flip a switch. You can't stop anyone during the postseason either.
He also played 44 minutes
yesterday. And I keep telling you guys this, it takes a superhuman effort by LeBron every night for this team to win. And you look at the numbers, he was great this year. One of the best years he's ever had.
Yep.
But you can't do that during the playoffs. The competition is much better.
Well, Saturday's start of the NBA playoffs put up the best opening Saturday numbers in 5 years. Across ESPN and ABC, coverage increased 17% over last season's start, according to metered market ratings from Nielsen. The four-game slate averaged a 2.7 metered market rating. That's pretty huge. Maybe it's because this is the first year where you're taking a look, and this isn't a given who's making it to the finals. This isn't a Warriors-Cavs like everyone thought it could possibly be at the beginning of the season. Are you even confident the Warriors are going to win the West?
Wait till Steph Curry comes back second round of the playoffs, then we'll see.
See, I think they will, too. I don't. Once again, you and I have been the same belief this entire season. I do not believe in Mike D'Antoni as a coach.
No, I think the wheels are going to
come off in some way, shape, or form.
Because it always has before. D'Antoni's done this. Remember how good Phoenix was all those years he was there?
Yeah.
They'd win 60 games every year and then lose in the playoffs. Now, it probably is not going to be Popovich that knocks about. Usually it is.
Right.
But San Antonio is not going to get Kawhi Leonard back, and that's a whole other story.
But did you hear Popovich, as they say, throwing shade?
Yeah, go talk to his people. I saw
that. They asked him when he was going to be coming back, and he goes, well, maybe you can talk to Kawhi and his people, and they can tell you.
Yeah, no, he's pissed off because he knows he can't win without him. But Houston is great, just great offensively. They score better than anybody else. They have the MVP. But what happens when they run across a team that's able to slow them down? You know, can they win a game 95-92? I don't know.
Keep an eye on the Thunder, too. I mean, once again, that's not any kind of crazy hot take. And by the way, the Pelicans looked really freaking good. Jrue Holiday and Rondo, it's playoff Rondo once again. I think the Celtics know from last year what playoff Rondo can be like. That was a little...
That's true.
That was unsettling. So after the whole Facebook scenario where you had Mr. Zuckerberg confusing all the old people about technology, it has now been said that nearly 1 in 10 Americans have deleted their Facebook accounts. That is huge.
Yeah, that is.
1 in 10. And that is since the scandal. Apparently there was a firm that surveyed 1,000 people. So once again, that's... You know, they're taking a pretty big statement from 1,000 people. But nonetheless, that is shocking. Yet the stock continues to go up.
Yeah, people seemed very pleased with his testimony, I guess, because he was unchallenged. But yeah, well, because people were grandstanding.
He was unchallenged and really didn't say anything?
You know, the people who don't like the Facebook side of things, there's obviously a lot of people, were saying that they were pissed at the senators and everyone in Congress because they just didn't ask the right questions.
No. They had no idea what was going on, and they were grandstanding.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy asking him if he could do it anywhere else but the USA, and then just telling him to say it was looking for, you know, like a...
flag-waving moment.
Yeah, like a rah, 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 look at me, I'm Captain USA.
We found that guy, as a matter of fact.
What do you have right now?
I got an American flag in my hand because I'm getting sick of all these... grease flags all over the place.
All the grease flags. They're just everywhere. This kind of sucks.
The Thunders?
The T-Birds.
Yeah.
Well, this kind of stinks. One of the better character actors of the last, I don't know, I guess it'd be like 30 years. R. Lee Ermey, the drill instructor from Full Metal Jacket, dead at age 74. Mm. Also, as Dan Roach is probably sad today, the voice of the main Little Green Army Man from Toy Story.
Sure.
He was also, in my opinion, the very underrated Fletch Lives, the sequel to Fletch, where he was the head pastor at Bible Land, the amusement park.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Once again, I'm not a fan of Fletch. I love Fletch Lives. So he passed away. You know, the crazy thing about his role in, iconic role, in Full Metal Jacket, is that he wasn't even cast for that role originally. What happened is they had an actor, and Stanley Kubrick brought in R. Lee Ermey as a real instructor to make it real, and he was supposed to instruct the guy. And so Stanley Kubrick sees R. Lee Ermey just going off, and he's 10 times better than the guy he's teaching, and he goes, all right, you're going to fill the role. And I think it's only like... there's only like two actors that Stanley Kubrick's ever worked with that he let improv. One was the guy who was Peter Sellers in Dr. Strangelove. And then R. Lee Ermey, almost all of that he wrote. R. Lee Ermey just did that off the top of his head. Though I didn't know they stack crap that high, and the whole jelly donut thing. That entire rant was improvised because he used to be an actual military drill sergeant. So that guy is done. And he is not here anymore. 74 years old. Rest in peace. And I found the picture of good old Patrick Reed wearing his green jacket to the Rockets game.
Oh, Jesus.
And as
he's
said,
very unlikable.
NBC Sports tweeted, we get it already.
Yeah.
The picture of him. And Bert Breer had a pretty funny tweet. He said, Patrick Reed wore the green jacket to the Rockets game. So this is like wearing your leather jacket to the mall in high school times 100, right? So there he is.
Well, at least your leather jacket, which I never wore, was functional. I mean, it was like, it was a coat. It's not a blazer that you wear everywhere. I mean, there's no necessity to wear a blazer to a basketball game.
But we got a villain now, huh? Like, this is somebody you can actually despise in golf.
Yeah.
This is good. I like this.
See, I rooted for him in the Masters because he's fat.
Yes.
And, like, I want some fat guys back on it. Mm-hmm. You know, who is the walrus?
Oh, Craig Stadler.
Stadler's the best.
Stadler, or the guy with the ponytail that's always got the cigar.
Miguel Angel Cabrera.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, he's just got a gut for days.
Yeah, he's Captain Moobs. But yeah, but this guy, I mean, you know, not only is he cut off his family when he met this girl, like he had his family escorted off one of the courses when they showed up to watch him play.
She claims that they were very abusive. The wife claims that the family was very abusive towards him.
Well,
still, the issues are worth following. You know what I'm saying? After the tournament, it's worth seeing where this guy is in 6 months.
Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe his family, or are you going to believe the guy that wears his Masters jacket to two different games a week later?
Masters jacket, of course.
And then has to sit courtside.
Has to sit courtside so everybody knows about it. So congratulations to him. And real quick, you mentioned something about Tom Brady that was broke over the last few minutes. It wasn't broken, but that he's going to spend most of his time away from
Jeff Darlington, who used to work for the NFL Network and now is a NFL reporter for ESPN, said he personally does not expect Brady to participate in a lot of the off-season workouts. He's going to spend more time with his family and Alex Guerrero. So take that for what it is.
Real quick, what does Bill Belichick have to do to make this all go away?
I told you what Bill Belichick has to do. I told you what he has to do 2 months ago. Hire Alex Guerrero and assimilate some of his training into what the Patriots do.
And pay Rob Gronkowski.
Every single problem that the Patriots have will probably go away if Belichick brings Guerrero in-house.
And pay Rob Gronkowski.
What other problems can there be? You bring Guerrero in-house, you want to have Edelman tweeting, hey, working out with this guy. You want to have Gronkowski worrying about what to do. You bring Guerrero in, you say, let's try some of your methods on the players. Everything's under one umbrella. Players get back on board. There's no splinter faction out and over here. You don't have to worry about tweets and likes and, you know, passive aggressive nonsense. Everybody works well together. I don't see the problem there.
All right, call number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll win a dozen Callaway Chrome Soft golf balls. The new Chrome Soft combines tour proven performance with unparalleled field distance and spin control. Chrome Soft, the ball that changed the ball. We will talk to Zolak and Bertrand, plus my children are here and desperately want to get on the air. So we'll do all that for you.
Talking about the game is no game.
Stop. You're making me laugh so hard. What you're doing is so funny.
Toucher and Rich.
You're on a roll. I am busting a gut. Stop.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tonight, a story about gratitude turning into action and an overriding desire to give back. Mary Schertenlieb has battled back from a dire form of cancer.
And she's also been battling the winter weather, training for her first Boston Marathon. She's raising money for the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, a place she and her family say saved her life.
But anytime I run and I'm like, oh man, I just want to quit, I want to give up, I'm like, you know what, I didn't quit, I didn't give up in the hospital.
5 years ago, February 2013, Mary Schertenlieb received a devastating diagnosis of leukemia.
Immediately when the results came back, I was sent to the ER and they started treatment within hours.
Intense chemo took its toll, but it also worked. She and her husband, Rich, whose voice you may know from the Toucher and Rich show on the Sports Hub, went home with their two little boys, Hank and Max. She had to stay inside because her immune system was so weak. Then came that marathon Monday. The Schertenliebs lived above the Forum restaurant, site of the second explosion.
We grabbed the kids, got her mask, forgot her medicine, and ran out of the building, and the whole time the goal was to keep my wife from getting sick and to keep the kids from seeing what they were seeing.
From there, she relapsed twice, had a stem cell transplant, and eventually at Dana-Farber,
they said, this time we're gonna like nuke you and like throw all these crazy things that we haven't tried before. Are you game for doing that? And Rich and I just said, yeah, let's do whatever we can.
It worked.
Today, knock on some serious wood. Yeah, I'm great. I was feeling so good that that's what made me decide to run the marathon.
Mary's running to raise money for Dana-Farber, but it hasn't been easy. Mary's endured a broken toe and medical problems caused by her weak immune system.
I guess I'm thinking more about the people that are currently fighting right now and the people that didn't make it. And I'm thinking about, like, what if we had raised just a little bit more money and it could have saved just that one person?
The percentages weren't good, but they have the best doctors, the smartest people, the best medicine. They saved my wife's life, and I'll forever be in debt to them. And so will these guys.
Mary has been hesitant to go to the finish line since the bombings, but when she crosses this time...
By doing this and actually taking this head on and running across the finish line, I feel it'll finally knock that fear out once and for all.
I think she's been really, really brave because I could definitely not do any of that.
Oh, yeah, you could.
Rich and the kids will be in her corner.
We're going to be cheering louder than anybody. We are so proud of her and what she's gone through.
Yeah, where are you guys going to stand? That's a great question.
I don't know. We'll be there cheering her on.
She is remarkable to come back from all that. A broken foot as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be remarkable
incredible.
When she crosses that finish
line. Go, Mary, go.
That's it. Mary is running the marathon today. And Rich, last-minute donations, you can go to at Toucher and Rich or the Toucher and Rich Facebook page.
Yep, and as a matter of fact, since we had her on at 8 o'clock, she had like 28,000 at that point, the listeners that donated, and we are now approaching 32,000. So, I mean, that's awesome. So within the last hour and a half, almost 2 hours, we've raised almost $4,000 for Dana-Farber. So once again, if you want to contribute and donate to the people that saved her lives, and I know have saved the lives of a lot of people here in Boston, because everyone who's been touched with cancer has some sort of story, and many of them involve Dana-Farber here in town, you can go to our Twitter account, at Toucher and Rich, or our Facebook page, and the money all goes to the great people at Dana-Farber.
All right, to Milo and Zoe, my kids are here as they have nothing to do today. What are you going to do?
Go to launch.
No, but our friends are coming. Parker and Quinn and Cooper are.
Were you guys supposed to go to the game together?
Like, no, okay. No. That's no place for children.
At 11 o'clock game.
This is the other thing that we could do, the marathon, but there's a 1% chance we might go.
Okay, because of the rain?
Oh, that's going to be gross.
Because of the weather.
Do you want to see Mary run?
No.
Yeah, it's you're going to be standing in the rain. It's going to be miserable. It's like, and to find her, it's like, you know, needle in a haystack.
Well, we could try to find Mary. That wouldn't be too bad.
They have an app now where you can track people, which is kind of creepy.
Yeah, we could.
I'm tracking you down.
Yeah.
No, it's great. No, it's
because they put a device on them and it says, "We are tracking you. How are you doing today?"
Right. All right. So Zoe, who is your favorite person in the world?
Daddy.
Yep. And Milo, who is your favorite person in the world?
Not to tell. It is a secret, and secret by me.
Okay, fair enough. You're looking at me like... You're looking at me like I'm the favorite.
No, you're not.
Okay. Very good.
Crushing. Tough way to end the program.
That is. I mean, yeah. It's piling on at this point.
Man.
So what do you guys want to do today?
Whatever Zoe wants to do.
Oh, you don't mean that.
Wow.
No, I do not, actually.
No, you don't mean that.
No, I'd rather do... I'll do anything.
Zoe, do you like your brother?
Okay. I'd rather play Fortnite.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
Do your kids have Fortnite?
Not yet. Oh, I've been holding it at arm's length. I know exactly what it is.
Is that the new Overwatch? Is that the new, like, video game?
No,
that's
yes,
the new one?
No, yes, no, it is. I have Battle Royale, which is, like, the one that everyone plays. My friends play it, too.
Oh, cool. Okay.
All right. We're just doing Minecraft right now. That's where we are.
I have Minecraft, but I barely play it anymore.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, what sport is your favorite to watch?
Basketball.
Are you rooting for the Celtics?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite baseball team?
Cardinals, then Tigers.
What's your favorite football team?
Jets, then Lions.
Okay.
It's mini-me.
What's your favorite hockey team?
Bruins.
How about you, Zoe? Okay. All right. Well, you guys enjoy yourselves today, as I will be sleeping.
Good for you.
Wake up nice and rested to be able to watch the game tonight, which is good.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to sleep from about 11 till 6:30. All right. Enjoy the game tonight. Remember, you can hear it on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, as well as right here at the radio station. Pre-game starts at 6:30. Zoe and Bergeron are in next. Good luck, Mary. We're all rooting for you. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
Woo!